People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, let's not make a big deal out of it.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Go back to your homes. There's nothing to see here. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. How are you? Good to be with you. It's the Friday weekend edition of the program. What that means is nothing much, really. It's just that it's the Friday weekend edition of the program, and I said it was. Funny story, yesterday I lost my keys, couldn't find them anywhere, and looked all over the house and then decided to go to the couch and look under the cushions, and I found my keys and 10 top secret documents. I don't know how they got there. Thank you. Attorney General Garland signed a special counsel to me because I didn't floss last night when I was brushing my teeth. It's getting out of hand. Thank you so much for being here. How you doing? Good to be with you. Oh, Lord, huh? What do you think about this? What's top secret mean anymore? I guess it's stuff that we're not supposed to know. And the mishandling of top secret documents, the least you can do is file them somewhere. You know, don't leave them in a box in the garage or at your estate at Mar-a-Lago or something. I don't know. Seems like a lot of people are mishandling top secret documents. My top secret documents are very well handled. Thank you so much. Yeah, things are just so odd. It's sometimes you have to pinch yourself and wonder where you are and what the hell's going on. Here's some good news, though. According to the numbers, apparently inflation is starting to moderate and actually kind of level off and getting better. The economy is getting better. We may be avoiding this recession that people are talking about. Half of the country doesn't know what a recession actually is. They know it's a word that begins with R, but that's about all. Is recession good? No, it's not good. Oh, we've got to avoid it. Yeah, you should. That's about all they know. Food prices still remain high. $17 for a donut. Isn't that kind of a little high? Jelly donuts up to $19 a donut. Oh, gosh. I don't know. Whenever you say jelly donuts, I just wonder who came up with that concept of taking a donut and filling it with red jelly. Don't you understand that doesn't work? Who eats those things? I got to admit, I tried it once, and as a result, had to go home and change my clothes. A jelly donut is one of the sloppiest things you can possibly eat. Nobody has a jelly donut and looks very professional in doing it. You're going to get the jelly on your face. It's going to drip on your pants and on your shirt. There's no way around it. Even if you're naked, it's going to drip on your skin. A jelly donut cannot be contained. And yet, at the sophisticated professional business meetings, you open up the donut box, and there's a jelly donut there. And I just watch to see which person is going to pick it up and eat it, because it's just absurd. If you go to one of these donut places like Dunkin' Donuts, and you know, I like a dozen donuts. Okay, which ones do you want? Give me three powdered, two of the chocolate frosting, and give me a jelly donut. What? You want a jelly donut? Yeah, give me one of the, give me two jelly donuts. Are you serious? Do you know what you're doing? Are you old enough to pick a jelly donut? What, are you kidding me? Yeah, they will chastise you. Jelly donuts are just, they're horrible. You can't tell the difference between eating a jelly donut and having some type of sore on your face burst open. They're the same. They look the same. It's awful. I spent a few years in the business world. I was a distribution manager for a company in the Boston area. And I had to sit at business meetings every morning with the sales department. And we used to discuss business. You know the phrase, board off your ass? It can be used in many different situations. That's where the phrase was born. I hated those meetings. I felt like I had been incarcerated. Like your punishment is to sit in the room with other smelly people, eat donuts, and listen to somebody babble on and on and on and on and on about how insufficient and inappropriate your sales were. It was a horrible, horrible existence. Sales departments, holy crap. I mean, I wasn't a salesperson. I was, you know, the support, the distribution of the product. But the sales managers, whoa, they were nasty people. They were horrible. They rose from the ashes of hell. And these poor salespeople who couldn't get a job doing anything else, they had to succumb to the sales manager's rotten, horrible attitude about life itself. No matter how well a salesperson did, the sales manager's job was to make sure that they feel like shit no matter what. Well, congratulations, you are the top salesperson for the company this month. Congratulations, Bob. But you know what, Bob? You can do even better. No, I can't. Well, yes, you can. And if you don't, we're going to fire you. No matter how well you do, I expect you to do that much better next time around. And when you do that much better next time around, I'm going to expect you to do that much better the time after that round. Until we fire your ass because you're not performing like you used to. You know, that's the problem with sales. When you raise the bar so high, you're kind of hanging yourself on the rope that's hanging from the bar. It's like that, what is it called, limbo or lingo or something? There's two poles and there's like a wooden stick that goes across it, and you have to contort your body. They play this limbo calypso music in the background. And you have to contort your body to slip yourself under the pole. And if you get under it, then they lower the pole a little bit more. And then you try to do that. And then if you're successful, they lower the pole a little bit more. Now you physically can't squeeze your body underneath this pole. It's absolutely impossible. But somehow you manage to do it. It's a miracle. That's not the end of the game. They lower the pole even more. And the game ends with somebody winning, but still knocking the pole off because they're the best one, but they still lost. They still can't get under the pole because they've lowered the pole so far down to the ground that it's physically impossible to do it anymore. And that's what sales are about. what a difficult profession that is. Not that it's necessarily hard to do, because it can be sometimes. But you're never good enough. You're just never, ever, ever good enough. And in life, that's a horrible feeling. That's when people turn to alcohol. I can't. I'm not good enough. You are. You're the best there is. Yeah, but they still don't think I'm good. Oh, my God. It's a horrible existence, and I saw it firsthand. And thus the jelly donuts. That's why salespeople eat jelly donuts. It basically is a microcosm of their messy lives. Oh, God, how sad this is. How sad this is. Do you know any entrepreneurs? A lot of them never went to college, never went to school, never went to higher education. Do you know why people who own companies, entrepreneurs, do so incredibly well, even though they didn't have the proper schooling? Do you know why? Because business prowess is not taught necessarily in a classroom. You just have to have it. All it takes is a winning personality and a trust of yourself that your decisions may be wrong sometimes, but will also be right sometimes. You have to have the balls. And I'm not being sexist. Women need balls too. Oh, we need each other's. We do. In order to exist in today's business world and otherwise, women need balls and men need vaginas. Men need to calm it down a little bit and be a little more caring and a little more sensitive. Women need to have more balls to be more aggressive. It's just, let's just switch clothes. I mean, seriously. We'll meet in the middle. That's what we have to do. And that's the generalization, of course. That's not what it actually is. I mean, this personality drives everything. I know people like this. I don't associate with them necessarily, but I know people like this who are just gregarious and wonderful and a pleasure to be around. Nothing seems to bother them. They're always smiling, always talking about good things. And I'm not talking about a cheerleader who is absolutely obnoxious. I'm talking about just a really happy-go-lucky person. These people do very, very well because it's the personality that works. It's not always the knowledge. Knowledge will come. As you make mistakes in life, you learn from your mistakes. If you're able to learn from your mistakes, you shall be successful. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're going to end up being married like 10 times. Learn from your mistakes. I believe it was President Obama who said, it's a teachable moment. Remember that? Remember when he said that? A lot of people stopped in their tracks and, whoa, teachable moment. And just like what Oprah was saying. And Oprah said it was an aha moment. Aha. It's basically what they're saying is it's recognize what's going on around you and adjust accordingly. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I should be a motivational speaker. Thank you so much for saying that, and I should. I've talked about this before. My calling is to stand up in front of a large group of people and tell them what to do, and give them enough of a pep talk that they leave the place actually buying one of my t-shirts or a book that I probably wrote about motivational speaking. The book is usually called Don't Let Anybody Stand in Your Way, or it could be called Go Out and Get It, or it could be called Teachable Moments. It could be any one of those titles would work. But you sell the books in the lobby. Besides making $100 off of everybody that sat there and attended the thing and listened to you talk for an hour and a half. I need to be a motivational speaker. And what is my product? It's bullshit. Bullshit is my product. Hey, it works. It works. Stand up there and talk, motivate people, but don't deal with them privately. Just and the motivational speech works for about 6 hours after the people leave the auditorium. After that, it's like nothing ever happened. You walk away with thousands of dollars. They walk away with a little bit of a spark in their pants for a couple hours, you know, thinking they're going to be successful. The greatest ones are these real estate things, you know, where they, you know, I became a zillionaire in real estate. I only had a dollar to my name, and I saved and invested, and I started with one little thing, and then it grew to this, and real estate is for you. Well, that's nice, except for everybody's a real estate agent. It's like Los Angeles. Everybody who lives in Los Angeles wants to be in show business. It's the same thing. Everybody in the rest of the country wants to be a real estate agent, and they are. The competition is absurd. That's not my motivational speech. That's just a fact. All right. I have a very interesting guest coming up momentarily, who shall amaze you with their prestidigitation. But in the meantime, this is the weekend edition of the program. It's time for people to stop working for a couple of days and, have a beer, sit back, and then go back to work later after a few days. And by the way, Monday is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. He was a great man. He was a great man. And the idea of these holidays is to sit back like for a few minutes and just remember the people or remember the day or the holiday. If it's religious, go to church for a couple of minutes. You're supposed to do something. The holidays are not for you to sit on your ass and drink alcohol. They are to commemorate, to remember, to honor. But Monday's a holiday anyway. It's a federal holiday, which means the banks are closed. There's no post office. There's no sign of life. There's no school. But CVS is open. I think that's really about it. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there'll be more program. I'll tell you something. I don't do this show just to entertain and to inform and to tell you things. This is actually helpful for a lot of people, including my announcer.
Because you listen to The Ron Van Dam Show, I know that you are a classy, intelligent person. And so I've been meaning to ask if maybe I could get your number. If you're not doing anything this weekend, maybe we could get together and, talk about Ron over a couple of drinks. I mean, we don't have to talk about Ron, but he is kind of the thing that brought us together. So, you let me know. For right now, you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Kimberly Stone is here. She's founder of PoshGlam.com, and she's a model and an entrepreneur, and she does 1,000 different things, probably all of them well. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Ron.
This is interesting because this actually what we're talking about is bringing out the talent within, because everybody's got something going, and this is very fascinating. We're talking about side hustles. What exactly is a side hustle?
A side hustle is something you do maybe outside of your regular job. Yeah. And a model's regular job is to get booked for jobs and to be in the fashion industry. Uh-huh. So a side hustle is something you do to make that extra cash to bolster your income and to patronize a hobby or something that you do to bring in the extra side cash that you need to maybe pay for groceries or gas or feed into travel, whatever it may be.
Well, we all need one of those things these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And but the great thing about it is you can take your God-given talent and actually, I wouldn't say make money off it. That doesn't sound right. But actually, as much as it is to earn extra cash, it's also expressing yourself and doing something that really is you, which is it's different.
Yeah, it's rather therapeutic because if you have something you really love and you feel like you can capitalize on it, it's really great to take advantage of that and to feed that because many times when we abandon our hobbies, we get sick or we become too stressed out doing the regular day-to-day and we abandon our talents and it stifles us as human beings.
Well, it's true. I mean, for most regular desk office jobs, it's not who a lot of people are, and it's depressing in a sense. But if you're doing something that you really love, it's a whole different world. And at least you can do that on the side. And you know what you're talking about because you are an entrepreneur and you've built yourself up to quite a brand, but it wasn't always like that. How did you get to where you are?
Well, you know, I started selling at 5 years old. Whoa. Excuse me, four years Whoa. Old. My mother took me to a fabric store to pick out fabric for a bridesmaid's dress she was having made in a wedding. And I demanded something of my own. Yeah. I remember stumbling over to the remnant bin and then getting home with the needle and thread and making my own outfit with my mother watching me. And then I did modeling parties from there growing up and was an honor student in the 99th percentile. But that was my talent, was fashion and pottery and art. I was in the South Fulton newspaper for art as a kid. And I got my first bit of press as a kid, and I just think, you know, that's where my knack for journalism and fashion communications came from, and it stemmed from. And with Posh Glam, I was a child journalist and a kid model, but I wasn't booking that much as a kid model. I was even doing side jobs as a kid model, as babysitting and, writing and things of that nature. And I think kids sometimes even need businesses, you know, to sustain their families if they're growing up in poverty or if they're, you know, struggling with their own creativity. And sometimes I come up with kid businesses for people. Like, I was a preschool teacher, so that was one of my side jobs as a model, a preschool teacher. And I came up with the kid business of making bracelets for the girls, making bracelets and selling them to their friends from school and church.
Nice.
And I think that's one thing you can do for somebody to really empower them is give them a trade, help them develop a trade. For instance, like the jewelry store I really love David Douglas, works with women in Africa that they train to make copper bracelets and they plate them in gold and sell them in the jewelry store locally. So I think having a trade, having a side business, having something you can cultivate really is fulfilling.
Yeah, you're amazing in that way as well, because you take things to a place where things haven't been opened up just yet entirely, and you're into that. You're into moving directions where modeling is that much more open and that much more diverse. And I know that you're working on a platform accordingly as well.
Oh, yeah. Posh Glam was a luxury blog for a very long time. We worked with the Versaces, the Gucci's, and the Hermeses of the world for a very long time. I was a top luxury strategist in the world for a very long time for social before the brands actually went online. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the luxury brands were not willing to do e-commerce at first. So they were just out there, you know, doing the ads in the magazines, but they weren't doing e-commerce because they didn't want to get ripped off by China. So during that time period, I was doing a lot of link backs, and I was online before a lot of the luxury brands for e-commerce. Cool. Though they had their websites, they didn't have the e-commerce, so I was online as a luxury blog before that. And, you know, it was kind of like teeny bopperish a little bit, just a little bit because of the low barrier to entry on the web. but it had like a little bit of a teen college vibe to it. And we attacked issues like sex trafficking and did fundraisers and, you know, breast cancer. And it was the female demographic, but we had men as well.
So when
we looked at things before data got really big, we were using sites like Quantcast and looking at the data, and it was like the richest people in the world laughing their asses off at the young luxury brands. It was a comedic site, a comedic luxury site. And ultimately, we switched over to e-commerce recently, and we're scaling the site, we're developing it and evolving it. And we have one designer so far, an African designer. And he has his merchandise. He's an emergent brand and has his merchandise on the website. But we're onboarding. We're going back to these 5,000 designers that we've worked with in the past and getting them on e-commerce. And we're going to create, we have a social component as well. So we're getting them on e-commerce so they can socialize and do e-commerce as well. And we're in beta with the website. So it's really exciting time for us. But back to side hustles, you know, we're looking for freelancers, people that want to side hustle with Posture Glam. That Posture Glam can be people's side hustle if they want to bring on designers for our website, etc. And, you know, the side hustles idea stemmed from the fact that Posh Glam was kind of like my side hustle in New York when I was scouting modeling agencies in 2005. When I was scouting agencies, Posh Glam became my side hustle of what I did in between modeling jobs in New York. And I think everyone can really start when you notice the ones that I mentioned, like floral arranging. That's something that's very therapeutic for women, is making, putting flowers together. Or blogging really helps people when they're creatively starved. Art, sculpture, working as a receptionist, being an influencer or a photographer.
You know, it's it's an interesting time to grow, because a lot of people have left their jobs, and I don't know what they're going to, but it's hard to get services these days, and it's hard to get things happening. So anybody who takes opportunity of getting things going is going to do well. I mean, there's a great need for everything all of a sudden.
Well, I think it's about finding your knack, finding what you're really passionate about. You know what I mean? Like, everyone has a thing they wish they could do outside of their regular job. Without cheating on your boss, what can you do and maybe get your kids involved or your husband or people in your life, in your church, you know, and get them involved and make it part of your life to really have that side hustle. And I think really having, using your network, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, utilizing your network for your side hustle, I think is one way to really tap into it.
Well, you know, like you say, it's not only can you make extra cash, but you're also fulfilling yourself with something that you love to do. And, you know, I've always said, you know, if you wake up in the morning on Monday and you look forward to going to work, then you're doing, and then you're happy. And then you're a happy person.
Absolutely.
All right, how can people get some more information about this? Because they probably have some questions.
Well, I'm always at an open door. If they want to contact me, they can do so on my website, poshglam.com, or they can look me up on the web on any of my social channels. I have a flyer going around right now where I'm looking for emergent designers and luxury high-caliber brands. So they can find me on poshglam.com.
Okay.
And my email address is pretty readily accessible on there. And if they know of any designers or people that have a knack for something they're working on, whether it's fashion, beauty, luxury, or art, they can sell on my website where it says sell now in the top right. They can sign up and go to sell now.
That's
so
cool.
I'm open to new designers. And also, if they have luxury items in their wardrobe, they can sell them on Posh and Glam.
There you go. She's Kimberly Stone. That should get people's ass moving, I would assume, and being happy on the way. Kimberly, thank you so much for your time today. It's very inspirational. We appreciate it. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. And indeed, as always, I'll be back on Monday. I'm working Monday. How about you? No? Okay. Until then, I wish you peace.
Yeah.